Before I lose my first impression, I want to record what it was like to go to a networking event. The networking event was in Limerick and it's just over, and I'm back in my car about to drive from Limerick to Cork. This was the networking event called Limerick Open Coffee Club, and it was my first time there. I went into this hotel, which the first thing about it that shocked me was how full it was. The lobby was absolutely teeming with people. Now, I didn't get any time to find out where they were from, but I had a kind of a funny feeling that they might have been Scandinavian or something. The name of the hotel was the Absolute Hotel, which had a kind of a Scandinavian feel to me. I don't know why. I know nothing about the background to this hotel, by the way. But I was in this kind of mode of, oh, I'm surrounded by Scandinavians here in the lobby. I walk through it. I make my way upstairs to the bar. I can't find any signs telling me where I'm going to, so I head for the bar, the public bar. And inside I see, you know, a lovely designed space, gorgeous, very nice. And I see coffee and I see cakes. And they're the kind of pastries, little croissant-y kind of things, some with chocolate, some with currants, raisins. And I think, wow, this is good. This is kind of upmarkety place. And there's a guy sitting down in a chair who looks for all the world to me as if he is Scandinavian. He's got a white hair and a very fine green tie and some colours. He's very naturally dressed. And he says hello to me, but he gets the wrong name. So he says, hello, Pat. So he knows me from Twitter, and I know him from Twitter. I know him as Piper Hawk from Twitter, but I never couldn't remember his proper name, although as the conversation went on, I did remember it. So he and I were there together, sitting for a while, and we were just kind of, you know, in the mode of one-to-one, you know, who are you, where'd you come from, and we were discovering that we had kind of links, and the more he was telling me, the more Philip O'Rourke was telling me about what he did, where he lived, what he does for a job, how long he's been in Limerick, the more connections were opening up in my head about, oh, I know so-and-so who knows him, oh, I met people who used to be shamanic counsellors as well, I know people in the that kind of a spiritualist world, if you like. I know counsellors, I know psychotherapists, you know, and I'm talking to this man who I've never met face-to-face, and I've had an awful lot, a good number of exchanges on Twitter over, it must be 2 years now, but never met. And that's banging along very nicely. And then somebody else comes along. And yes, a guy who I'd never met and who looked like he'd never opened a Twitter in his life. You know, he did not look like as if he was a you know, a man who looked like he was in business, and he looked like he was, you know, not very tech savvy. Now, I actually never found out anything about him, but I said to myself, this is interesting. He looks a bit like a farmer, to be honest, to me. He did carry a mobile phone on his belt, but, you know, we just shook hands, and there was a nice sense of camaraderie in the room between three of us, and then he went off full of energy to do something, and gradually the room started to fill up. Two guys from Poland arrived in, and they started to, they were very interesting, started to say what, and this was all sitting down at a table, by the way. So there was a room which was full of, I mean, this was public, this whole thing was public, but gradually people came in. It was a bit like actors entering from stage left or stage right, wandering onto the stage, except that they weren't addressing any one audience. They were creating an audience space of their own, and all these little groups gathered together, and there never was a person pulling it together. The whole thing was never pulled together. It was a kind of an anarchic kind of experience, as if you were in a public square in Italy and there were groups of people chatting, except in Italy they'd be walking around because they're great walkers in Italy. But these people were all, I mean, at one stage at the very end I came across two guys from asset management talking to a third person who was from an accountancy company. So I thought, ah, that's the little group of people I never got to talk to, because and they are networking with each other in their own personal business zone. I spent time at the table with the cakes and the coffees, and I got up to get somebody a cup of coffee from the bar, And I never got back to the table because I got hooked by a man who knew me from Twitter, and he told me he followed me from Twitter. In fact, he even told me that he listened to an audio boo that I had done. He either listened to an audio boo I'd done last night when I was out walking the dog, or to be more exact, I think he read the tweet in which I said I was going to go out walking the dog last night. But there was this kind of mixture of people who were on Twitter and active on Twitter and people who weren't, and they all are on LinkedIn, discovered. And there was a little bit of a chat about LinkedIn. I overheard a bit of a chat about LinkedIn having been hacked this morning, and somebody told me change my password. But I had two long, substantial conversations, and they were both amazing. One was with a man who I recorded an audio boo with afterwards. And we talked a bit about business. We also talked about golf, and we talked about people that we knew. And I don't know what else we talked about, but it was a very lovely mixture of the thing. And then along came this guy from WizKids IT. And that was astonishing, because I found myself in the company of a guy I had had contact with on Twitter. I remembered that, and I said to him, God, you know, I know you. I was very impressed with you a couple of years ago. And that's because I now know it's because I couldn't remember why, but I just knew, these are good guys. And the conversation went on, and I asked loads of open questions. I said, you know, tell me more. What else do you do? Who do you know? What do you do? Where do you do it? Why do you do that? What are you doing? All those kind of open stuff that is helpful when you're networking. Probably shoved an old closed question in here and there to kind of, you know, just keep the thing moving along and all that. And it was lovely. It was great fun. And I mean, I ended up in listening to a man telling all about the summer camps that they run for young people between the age of 8 and 15 in about 5 universities. In fact, the whole lot of them except Trinity College Dublin, I get the impression of. Not all the ITs, but it certainly included one of the ITs. I can't remember which one it is, actually. But they run summer camps, and I have a child who's 6 who isn't old enough yet to go to them, but the summer camps are there to help develop kids in the area of technology, software, building websites. They do things. They don't yet do infographics, by the way. This came up in the conversation. But basically, the company has existed for 10 years. So I couldn't resist offering a suggestion that they quickly produce an e-book about the history of the company, because they're, you know, 10 years in existence, and you only get your 10th anniversary once. That is my philosophy. You only get one opportunity to be 10 years old, and if you don't take it with hands open, you've lost it. I met somebody afterwards, I tell you, who told me that they were 3 years old, and I said to them, your 5th anniversary is coming up. You can start thinking about getting your e-book ready for that. But this is one of my hobby horses, is about the fact that people waste assets that their company has. The story of how the company was formed, the story about all the different iterations about how it was put together, that is one of your company's greatest assets. That is my strongest advice. I could support that statement by, you know, boring the pants off you with why. If you're curious, you can ask me to elaborate, but if it doesn't strike a chord with you, I'll be a little bit surprised when you think about it. Too many people are doing the operation, building it up, slaving away, hard as they can, and they're creating a story, and they don't even pause to realize it. And all I have to say to somebody is, look, imagine that we had the photographs and the conversation, verbatim dictation, audio even better, of Steve Jobs in his very first job. You know, imagine I had it and I owned them. I owned those photographs. I owned that old tape recording that I made with Steve's permission. I have the copyright to it. And I even have the photographs that I took in his kitchen and the broken pencils he used, and the kind of, I have photographs of what his nails looked like as he bit them, as he, you know, tried to develop this or that or whatever. Imagine if I had all that material, how much it would be worth, apart from the fact that the museums of technology would be after me to lodge it there. And what a great thing it would do for my reputation if I gave it away to, you know, the Steve Jobs Institute as a gift later on. So at a certain point in life, you know, you gain more out of giving gifts than charging for something. You know, there are a whole load of people who realize that now, that the most valuable thing they can do in, for the rest of their life is give gifts to other people. I quote you Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, just to quote two, but there are thousands of others, even J.P. McManus. So there we are. This is a wonderful way of doing networking, you know. It was big enough. There were a lot of people there, I have to say. I began to think yesterday there would be a very small gathering. There were just too many to work the room. I mean, I'm a room worker at times. You know, I will actually try to shake every person's hand. But the truth is that if you go then and you get stuck at a bar, collared by somebody, and they start telling you stories, you know, that's where the links and connections and light bulbs open up. So, yeah. So, what can I say? Next time you do networking, you know, out of this. Let me just think. There was a great book once called Odyssey, written by John Sculley. He gave the story of what he did, what happened in between Steve Jobs and himself. Now it's from Scully's point of view. But at the end of each chapter in Odyssey, there was a kind of review of learning. So what have I learned from networking today? Number one, it helps to be in touch with your nerves, and it helps also to have a way of being positive. And one way of being positive about going into a room, networking, if it's difficult in any way for you, is to say to yourself that they're incredibly lucky that I'm giving them my company today. And that's one thing. And the other message you can give yourself is that how this is a piece of social anthropology. I'm there as a researcher. Technical term is participant, observer, very active observer. And you can even give yourself things to learn. You know, I'm there to find out, you know, how many people in the room speak to more than three people during the next 3 hours. Now, those kind of social questions which can be quantified. And then you can even say, I'm going to notice all the keywords that people use in their conversations, and I'm going to collect a word cloud about those later. So what was the buzzword today in Limerick? And I'd say that in the conversations I was in, the buzzword... No, I failed to have a project. I failed to have that as an intention going in. If I had had it as an intention, I'd probably have had a little notebook, and every time I noticed a word had been repeated, I would have noted it. Then I could have had some data to gather together, like that wonderful guy, Dan Zarella. If you don't know Dan Zarella, I think it's two R's, two L's. If you don't know his work as a researcher, as a scientist of social media, he's fantastic. So that's it. My thoughts from Limerick. I had to rush away at the end. I said to a few people, come to Cork, you know, we'll see you there. We'll get on to the other issue about, you know, can an open coffee club in one part of Ireland meet another open coffee club, and what kind of process would be used in order to determine where they would meet. And that's a story that the East Cork Coffee Club has been discussing already. Okay, thanks very much for listening to this. I would be terribly pleased if anybody found anything in it interesting or helpful with networking, because as you can kind of guess, I'm a huge practitioner of networking. You know, that's how I won't do business for anybody who doesn't at least love the idea of networking, even if they find it a bit intimidating or tough to do, even if they're resistant to doing it. But they have to love the idea of networking, otherwise I would find it awfully boring to work with them. Bye-bye.